you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and it is an absolute delight to be in studio today as we take your questions as they come in a variety of ways. Obviously, we're involved in digital media platforms today, and so the questions keep pouring in, and the reason we give answers is not simply to answer the question, but to demonstrate that there are significant answers to the questions that people are asking, and those significant answers are found within the context of a biblical worldview. The Christian worldview simply holds up under scrutiny. And I can say that after looking at objections to the historic Christian faith for over 30 years. You can call in your question on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, of course, at 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or contact us on the web at equip.org. Resource consultants, they are your direct connection, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered on the broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. I want to start the broadcast out today by once again pointing your attention to resources that are transformational, and they're available for those who support the ministry. You can check this out on the web. As I talk about these resources, you can find them there. And the first of those resources, Icons of Evolution, it is a film, a must-watch. And I would say if you have children, watch it with your children. Don't just give it to them and hope they'll watch it by themselves. Watch it with your children. It will be an incredible blessing as you let them know through a very powerful CD, a very powerful film on CD, how the icons of evolution do not hold up, though they proliferate with reckless abandon. They do not hold up under scrutiny. So they are used in public schools. In fact, they're used in all kinds of venues. They're even used in Christian contexts, and I'll talk about that on another show. But they're simply zombie science. And that's the second resource that we have available this month, Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution, the book by Jonathan Wells. He is an expert. He's a PhD in molecular and cell biology from the University of California, Berkeley, as well as a PhD in religious studies from Yale University, so he knows what he's talking about. But he writes in a simple, understandable way, but I think in a delightful way that causes me to break out laughing sometimes. I love Jonathan Wells. We did a podcast with him not all that long ago. That'll be up shortly, so keep watching for that on iTunes or wherever you consume your favorite podcast. You can also check it out on the web, of course, at equip.org. And then the final resource, and I spend a lot of time on this, both in terms of design and in terms of content. It is a flip chart. It's called Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. And farce is an appropriate acronym. F-A-R-C-E gives you all you need to be able to counter the evolutionary myth. I was thinking about one of the icons of evolution that came into being 3 years after I was born, and it is one of the most famous. So I was born in 1950. This came into existence in 1953 when Stanley Miller announced that he had demonstrated through an experiment in the laboratory of his PhD advisor, Harold Urey, what is now roundly championed as the first steps in the origin of life. And science textbooks from then to now continue to contend that Stanley Miller's experiment is proof positive that, as is said, the key molecules of life could have formed in the reducing atmosphere of the early Earth. And along with this fake narrative, another icon of evolution spontaneously sprang into being. Accordingly, you had the 2014 editions of Campbell Biology and Freeman's Biological Science, amongst other textbooks, now complete with infamous illustrations of Miller's apparatus. And while the icon has now been firmly implanted in the minds of unsuspecting students, the reality is this, that the Miller-Urey experiment is completely irrelevant to the origin of life on Earth. Truth is, the origin of life cannot be explained materialistically. What is quite obviously true is that the origin of life requires intelligent design. And yet, as Jonathan Wells rightly put it in Zombie Science, the grand materialistic story lumbers on. Well, as these icons of evolution are being implanted in the minds of unsuspecting people, you have the opportunity to be ready, equipped to explode the myth. If you can't do it yourself, you could use a flip chart like these flip charts that I'm talking about. You can get them on the web at equip.org and even give them to someone that you can impact, not only for time, but also for eternity. This is not just a scientific issue, but this is an issue that ultimately is of transcendent importance in that so many people buy into the evolutionary lie and as a result of that walk away from the Christian faith. Let's go to the phone calls. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. Michael in Clarksville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Michael.
How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I am blessed in the Lord. Just got a quick question.
Sure.
And I was just wondering, what's the difference between being a disciple and being a follower of Christ?
Well, actually, the two are in concert, one with the other. You think about this, a disciple is a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ. So a disciple came and followed Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ called the disciples, and they came from whatever they were doing, and they followed Jesus Christ. So they not only followed him, but they also learned from him. And that's why I say a disciple is a learner or follower of Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing is Christ called 12 men that they should be with him. They were part of his inner circle. Of course, he had disciples who were women who are mentioned in Scripture. In fact, women were the first to testify to the resurrection, which is the central event in the Christian faith. But these were disciples of Jesus Christ. They were learners or followers of Jesus Christ. Think about Mary, for example. She sat at the feet of Christ and learned from Jesus Christ. And what's interesting about that, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but what's really interesting about that to me is that women in that culture were not allowed to learn. They were the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder, and yet Jesus took women as his disciples, and he taught them so that they could teach others. And so in Christ, there is no male or female. There's no gender distinction. We can all learn from Christ, and then we have to take what we have learned and use that to impact others. So again, a disciple is a learner and a follower of Jesus Christ.
Okay, because I was under the presumption that about the disciples being ones that actually not only followed him, but did want to learn from him. And I was under the impression that followers were those that gave up because it wasn't enough to keep them, because they weren't planning on staying anyway.
Well, no, I mean, a disciple is a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ, but there is a grain of truth in what you have said, because biblically we do find the account of people who are told by Christ that they have to eat his body and drink his blood, and when they heard that, they could no longer follow Jesus Christ because it was simply too hard for them. In other words, Christ was saying, I'm the vine, you have to remain in me because I am the one that will nourish you, and without me, you have no nourishment to continue on as followers or learners. And when those people heard the words of Jesus Christ, and there are many others that could be mentioned, those words were difficult for them to attain to. They didn't want to leave all and follow Jesus Christ, and so they were no longer his followers. But that doesn't negate the fact that a disciple is a learner or follower of Jesus Christ.
All right, then.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate your call. It's a good call, good question. I mean, I can't think of a more important question than that particular question. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? For all of us are called not only to be disciples, but to be reproducing disciple makers. I mean, if you think about the spiritual multiplication principle for a moment, you had Jesus Christ investing his life in 12 men, one of them a devil, replaced by the Apostle Paul. But those 12 men turned a world right side up. They changed culture. So Jesus invested his life in 12 people. You think, wow, 12 people, 3 years, maybe he could have invested himself in a whole lot more people. But no, he discipled those 12 so they could be reproducing disciple makers. And if you look at the book of Acts, there comes a time where a great persecution breaks out against the believers in Jerusalem. It's at the time of Stephen's martyrdom. And then the believers are scattered, and they preach the word wherever they go. In other words, those who were equipped by Jesus Christ now go out, and they reach others. And think about the multiplication that happens. If there are only 12 believers on the planet today, and each believer leads one person to faith in Christ, and then disciples that person, so that person is a reproducing disciple maker themselves. Well, what happens is the next year you have 24 believers. And if the same thing happens the next year, you have 48 believers. Well, you can multiply. If you multiply that out, in less than 30 years, we would reach everyone on the planet. We'd fight over pagans. We'd say, that's mine. I found him first. That's the power of spiritual multiplication. So we don't have to look at this as, you know, running around frantically, grabbing people by the lapels, saying, brother, are you saved? No, what we have to do is we have to disciple those that God brings into our lives. We have to invest our lives in them. And sometimes it takes a lot of time. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast that I had a Muslim that lived with us for a year. It took me a year to develop Saeed into a reproducing disciple maker. 1 year. But think about what happens when he does the same with someone else. Think about the principle of multiplication. If I were to preach, on the other hand, to 10,000 people every day, and a certain number of them got saved, I can tell you that at the end of 30 years, I'd be farther behind than I was when I started, simply because the population is growing faster than that. So the spiritual multiplication principle is very, very powerful. And it starts in the home. It starts with discipling your own children so that they can become reproducing disciple makers. Christina is looking at me. She's sitting in studio. And I think about the times that she took what she learned as part of our family and used it to reach others. And you continue to do that today.
Well, I try my best. And I think the important thing that I that I have to continue to remind myself, and I think everyone does, is that you don't have to have a big platform. It's really about investing in other people's lives. I was just talking to a caller, thanking them for supporting the ministry today, and he said that he loves to talk to people and they share their life stories, and that's so fantastic. And he listens to the broadcast and reads his Bible and communicates these truths, and that person that he disciples can disciple someone else. And that's just so amazing that, you know, God uses everyone and anyone and everyone.
That's absolutely true. It doesn't take a pedigree. God uses the least of those, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, right? And we are coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. Got some good news about my health as well. Be right back.
In an age of empirical science, no statement could be more certain, clear, or correct than, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And now, you and I can readily share and defend this truth of God's work in creation with the aid of Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series, and Hank wants to equip you with this powerful resource as thanks for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call and request your Farce of Evolution flip chart today, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teaching such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym FARCE, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Science has enriched our lives and led to countless discoveries, but Dr. Jonathan Wells argues that it's being corrupted. Empirical science is devolving into zombie science, shuffling along unfazed by opposing evidence. Discredited icons of evolution rise from the dead, while more icons, equally bogus, join their ranks. Like a B-horror movie, they just keep coming. Zombies are make-believe, but zombie science is real, and it threatens not just science, but our whole culture. Is there any solution? Wells is sure of it, and he points the way in his book, Zombie Science. To receive your copy, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And so many testimonials coming in through YouTube, through Facebook, through digital media platforms. Here's one from Luda who says, Hank and CRI staff, exclamation point, although I've never met you, I feel as though you're a good friend. I'm so truly grateful that God has placed you in your ministry in my path. It has been such a blessing and so enlightening in my life. May the Lord continue to bless you and use you in so many great ways. Your sister in Christ, grace be to you. Grace be to you, Luda, and thank you for the encouragement. Here's a testimony from Athanasius, who is writing from Greece, Athens, Greece. Keep up the good work, Hank. God bless you and your family. And a Facebook testimonial, Bob says, Hank and crew, just wanted to say, only found you about 6 months ago on the radio broadcast, and then Hank Unplugged. I listened to some programs over and over. Thank you for your ministry, and we pray for your good health. And one final one from Mesda, who says, Hank, thank you for your commitment to truth. I am praying for your health every day. You have truly been a blessing in my walk with God. And I thank all of these particular people who have contacted us and encouraged me through their testimonies. And one of the encouragements, of course, is that people are praying for my health. And you think about people I've never met praying for my health every day in places like Greece and all over the world. I remember when I was diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma, April 15th of last year, I got a call from Father Themi, and he said, West Africa is praying for you. And by the way, I mentioned Father Themi because we have a Hank Unplugged podcast that has just been released, and I think you'll be blessed by it as you find it on the web at equip.org or at iTunes. It is an incredible conversation, and you get to tune into that conversation with someone who I have the utmost respect for. I consider him the Mother Teresa of Orthodoxy. But at any rate, there are so many people all over the world that have been praying for me. When I was diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma, I had tumors everywhere. I had tumors in my neck, I had tumors under my shoulders, I had tumors in my chest, I had tumors in my stomach, I had tumors in my pelvic area. When I looked at the PET scan, it looked like a Christmas tree, literally, with light bulbs all over the place. And it was a daunting thing to look at that PET scan and realize that, wow, those are real tumors. And I have mantle cell lymphoma, and I have cancer in my bone marrow. So it was quite a blow, quite frankly. But people, when they found out about this, started praying. And I went through chemo last year, and just yesterday, I did another PET scan, and I didn't know what that PET scan would reveal, because some of you may recall that I was supposed to have a bone marrow transplant, and I was the first person in the history of the apheresis unit at Levine Cancer Center that they couldn't harvest enough stem cells from in order to do a bone marrow transplant. So God closed that door. And by the way, as a door I didn't want to walk through, I kept praying, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I prayed that prayer every single day. And a lot of people were praying for me. Anyway, I didn't do the bone marrow transplant. I didn't know what the way forward was. So I did a PET scan yesterday. And today, I just got back from the doctor. Just enough time to get back into the studio. And we went over the PET scan. And you know those light bulbs all over the PET scan? They're gone. There were only two left on the PET scan previous to this one. And even those two on the most current PET scan have shrunk so that they're almost within the margin of error. And so I'm grateful for everyone that has prayed for me. And I, you know, God can do whatever he wants with my life. He can take my life. He can sustain my life. But God has chosen to give me health and strength, even through this whole process, a whole year of chemo. And yet I never missed a day working, except for obviously Sundays when I worshiping the Lord when I was in the hospital for the chemo. So the Lord has sustained me through that whole process. What an incredible thing. Gave me the strength to go through the chemo last year, and now I've got too much going on. I'm so excited right now. I have so much energy pumping through my veins. I can hardly stand myself. But so I'm grateful to the Lord. I'm grateful for all those that prayed. I walked in the office today and everyone wanted to know what had happened. Well, God has answered the prayers of God's people who asked that he would heal me, and I'm almost in complete remission as we speak. So I'm expecting that there are some things that I still have to do to get into complete remission, but everything is trending in the right direction.
Yes, and that's amazing. And I've been calling people and they just keep on talking about how they've been praying for you and how they really appreciate you. And, you know, this is just one of those examples of, you know, God's family kind of joining together and praying together as one body. And, you know, when, as Father Angelo said at the conference we went to
in Washington,
D.C., he says, you know, when one part of the other body bleeds, the other feels it. Yeah. And this is an example of how you guys felt my dad's pain and journeyed with him. So we really thank you for that, even as his family, because it's really hard for us to go through this not knowing what's going to happen. So your call is saying that you were praying for him were also a testimony and a grace to me. So we really thank you for that.
From the bottom of our hearts, we are so grateful. You know, here's another question that came in. This one, Facebook, Glenn. And it's an interesting question. I wanted to answer this question today. I just saw it. And I saw it just before I came into the studio. And I thought, this is a question I want to answer on air because it's an important question. It has to do with learning to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. At any rate, Glenn asks, in the table of nations listed in Genesis chapter 10, verse 5, you have stated there that there were different languages among the clans. And by the way, Genesis 10:5 says that from among the maritime peoples, there was a spread into territories by their clans within their nation, each with its own language. And yet, as Glenn points out, in Genesis 11, we read that the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as men began to build the city and Tower of Babel, the Lord said, and this is the familiar passage that I'm sure everybody's heard, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. So here you have this supposed contradiction, right? Because in Genesis chapter 10, you have different languages being discussed. In Genesis chapter 11, we're told that there was only one language. Which is it? And so those who want to disparage the Bible quickly say, well, the Bible simply cannot be trusted. And I was the first line of reasoning I always come up with when someone says that is, look, if you're reading a linguistic masterpiece, a tapestry of surpassing beauty, you read Shakespeare, for example, or you read some erudite scholar, you don't immediately, even if you don't understand, suppose that he's contradicting himself within a few pages or within a few paragraphs. You immediately give that scholar or that playwright the benefit of the doubt. Why would we not do this with Scripture? And I will tell you, as someone who has read Genesis many, many, many times, it is a tapestry of surpassing brilliance and beauty. And I don't suppose that Moses is now going to contradict himself between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, nor between Genesis 10 and Genesis 11. I give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think, well, maybe there's something that I'm misunderstanding here, as opposed to saying, well, the Bible is a big hodgepodge of contradictions. The more straightforward and concise answer, again, comes when you understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. And when you do, you realize that in many books of the Bible, I think about the book of John in the New Testament, everything is not laid out chronologically, it's laid out thematically. So chronology plays a part in responding to this question as well. We can't look at Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11 as disparate narratives to be read chronologically. Rather, together they form a single narrative in which Genesis 10 tells what happened in terms of the division of the nations and where they settled, and then Genesis 11, well, it fleshes out the details. It tells the how and why with respect to the division, and it gives the theological explanation for the divisions that we see in the previous chapter, Genesis chapter 10. So again, when you read these books, don't always think that you have a strict chronology going on. What you have here is a fleshing out of details. And, you know, there's more to the story, and you're fleshing out the details. Just as I talked about mantle cell lymphoma, if you took me in a wooden literalistic sense, you probably would have thought I only had two PET scans, but I had more than two PET scans. I just really featured two of them, because those were the two that were most pertinent to the conversation, and I didn't want to prattle on and on about the PET scans. I just wanted to give you kind of the bare bones details. Time is always a factor. In fact, I'm running out of time right now because I'm coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And of course, the quote of the day. I love the quote of the day. I never get tired of quotes. There are people that work here at the Christian Research Institute, including Larry Johnston, who is a quote fanatic. So if I ever run out of quotes, I just go to Larry. He's got lots more quotes for me. But Christina's finding quotes. I find quotes in movies. Stephen's finding quotes. People come to me with quotes all the time. I want to share those quotes with you because I hope those quotes, in pithy form, will make an impact in your life. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, Hank Hanegraaff reminds you why evolutionary theory is false. And he wants to equip you with this flip chart titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And it's our thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your Farce of Evolution flip chart when you call with your donation. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The issue of where humans came from isn't just an apologetic issue, it's the apologetic issue. Because how you view your origin ultimately determines how you live your life. That's why Hank Hanegraaff created his flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution, and he wants to get it into your hands today. It's a flip chart in our Hankronym series. And by using the acronym FARCE, F-A-R-C-E, you can stand with God's truth against false paradigms like the theory of evolution. It's a compact, user-friendly tool, and Hank wants to equip you with this important resource as thanks for your donation today in support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your FARCE flip chart when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. There was once a time when the fall of the Berlin Wall seemed unimaginable, yet that day came. Likewise, the prevailing cultural conformance to the dogma of Darwinian evolution seems so pervasive that it's hard to imagine an end to this era. But Dr. Jonathan Wells believes that truth will prevail and uses the example of vampires to explain how. Wells writes that battling vampires presents the best metaphor for fighting dogmatic materialism masquerading as empirical science. One way to kill a vampire, according to popular lore, is to expose it to direct sunlight. To end the reign of Darwinism, it is essential to be equipped with the light of truth. To receive your copy of Zombie Science, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks so much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Winkel Denton. He's a biochemist, author of Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, and another great book, Evolution, Still a Theory in Crisis. The quote of the day is as follows. Considering its historic significance and the social and moral transformation it caused in Western thought, one might have hoped that Darwinian theory was capable of a complete, comprehensive, and entirely plausible explanation for all the biological phenomena from the origin of life on through all its diverse manifestations up to and including the intellect of man. That it is neither fully plausible nor comprehensive is deeply troubling. One might have expected a theory of such cardinal importance, a theory that literally changed the world, would have been something more than metaphysics, something more than myth. Ultimately, the Darwinian theory is no more or less than the great cosmogenic myth of the 20th century. And now we can say the great cosmogenic myth of the 21st century as well. And, you know, you look at people that hold to the evolutionary dogma, they do so maybe in many cases out of motivated blindness and the inability to perceive inconvenient truths as they are being presented to them. Because remember, if there is a God, well, then you have to live in accordance with the parameters that God sets forth for you to live within. We just got a call, and as I was talking, that caller was asking about homosexuality. And I think it's important that we recognize as Christians what the Bible says with respect to homosexuality, but recognize that when God speaks of homosexuality, He does so not because He is a cosmic killjoy. It is because He is our Creator. He designed us, and He knows exactly how we are to operate. And so He places these parameters around our lives so that our joy might, in fact, be complete. And the question was, how do you deal with homosexuality in the workplace? Well, you do it with gentleness and with respect, recognizing that I, as a heterosexual person, have, even as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, have my own issues to deal with. I'm a sinner. I mean, Paul could say, as the writer of two-thirds of New Testament epistles, that he was the chief of sinners. I certainly can say I'm a sinner as well. And I am the chief of sinners, which is something that we say in liturgy every week, of whom I am the first. So I recognize my own sin, and so I don't look down at anybody else, but what I do is if I have the opportunity to impact someone's life, I tell them the truth with gentleness and with respect. And that would be true regardless of what lifestyle a person is in, which is hampering their ability as a human, and certainly as one created in the image and likeness of God. So I think it's important for us, when we're dealing with people in the workplace, to simply be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. And I often use an acronym. It's called the acronym GAY, G-A-Y, simply appropriate, but a way of you remembering that God has spoken the Bible's crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. The New Testament derives its prescriptions against same-sex sexuality from the creation order of Genesis itself, as well as prohibitions in Leviticus. And not only that, but Scripture contends that wholly apart from access to special revelation, general revelation provides sufficient evidence to underscore God's condemnation of same-sex sexuality. And we do well to recognize that the Bible does not condemn same-sex sexuality in an arbitrary and capricious fashion. Rather, it carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might be complete. I've made that point over and over again, and I think that's a point that we want to emphasize, that the Bible carefully defines the borders of human sexuality. God does so in His Word so that our joy might be complete. The second point, and it's the A in the acronym, is that we ought to adjust our attitudes In place of a we-they siege mentality, Christians must commit themselves to becoming salt and light, and then do so, as I mentioned earlier, do so recognizing that we ourselves are sinners. So, you know, the God hates fags mentality is more conducive to repelling than reaching a culture steeped in sin and confusion. Yet I remember Joe Dallas saying that we can preach the right things in all the wrong ways, either too aggressively, or on the other hand, we can do it too meekly. And when either conviction or compassion is being compromised, revision is most definitely in order. I've said it many times, bears repeating in this context, tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is a virtue. But tolerance when it comes to truth is a travesty. I was just at the doctor's. I was mentioning this in the second segment. The doctor had to tell me the truth as I was going through my particular battle with cancer, because if he didn't tell me the truth, I couldn't have the right antidote applied to deal with the issue that I was dealing with, the physical issue. And the same thing is true in any situation. If you truly love someone, you tell them the truth. So tolerance when it comes to personal relationships, of course, it's a virtue, but tolerance when it comes to truth is a travesty. And then the why. I love this. It's yield not. We must never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness, because our consciences ultimately must be captive, not to political correctness, but rather to the Word of God. And as has been well said, to go against conscience is neither right nor is it safe. The temptation to yield to cultural norms, it will continue to be pressed upon us with ferocity. And yet to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives as believers. And the issue that we're talking about, this is part of the sexual revolution. A revolution in which we no longer set our sights by a North Star, but rather by shooting stars. And this fits well with the discussion on evolution, because once we get rid of a creator God and we assign everything in this world to pure mechanistic material processes, well, then everything goes. We get rid of God because God interferes with our sexual mores. And then he becomes nothing more than the faint and disappearing smile of the cosmic Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. And with God out of the picture, we live life as we want to live life. And what that has done is it has caused a Holocaust. People not telling the truth in this matter, the sexual orientation, has caused untold misery. Just as untold misery is caused when you don't proclaim the Word of God with gentleness and with respect, recognizing that you yourself are a sinner. And so we are simply people who have found bread, willing to give that bread that we have found to others that are hungry. And I'm not just talking about it in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. But the matter that the caller brings up is not a trifling matter. This is a matter of natural law. And Dr. J. Richards once said on this broadcast that to deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow to the very foundation of a free civilization. And I think of the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. We should no longer be children, children tossed to and fro, children who are carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of human beings who in cunning craftiness, plot deceitfully. But rather, we ought to speak the truth in love. And as we do, grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Why? Look, this is the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows exactly how you're designed to live. And He so loved the world that He incarnated, which quite literally means He came in flesh, so that we might have a relationship with Him for time and for eternity. Again, these are not trifling matters. Being in the hospital today, you see people at the end of life, and you always think to yourself, what can I do to bring the gospel to those people facing their own mortality with gentleness and with respect? So we have to look at every single person as a person created in the image and likeness of God. Whether homosexual or heterosexual, transsexual, we have to look at those people. We must. We're privileged to. As people with the stamp of God on them, we ought to care for them. And to care for them also involves, when we have the opportunity, to speak the truth with gentleness and with respect. Do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Remember, we will never be politically correct. This is not a platform for prosperity or political correctness. It's about the truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Zombie Science, by Dr. Jonathan Wells. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. We have the perfect resource to help you stand for truth regarding creation. It's Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. If you've ever seen a flip chart from our Hankronym series, you know they work. They're compact, portable, and packed with solid biblical truths you need to know so you can stand against false teaching such as the theory of evolution. Using the inherently memorable acronym FARCE, Hank equips you to share the news that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Hank wants to bless you with his flip chart as thanks for your donation today to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please call 888-7000-CRI to request your flip chart and share your donation. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.